love. The sacred curse bends our knees and necks, opens our arms and legs in the dark, to become one great gaping mouth, gnashing fleshy teeth, sucking shared breath, and in the day it rolls us into a switching tail, flicking light pressed between us into a sticky veil. We break through free, piss and smoke, drink and foam. Before you offer lingerie like a cherry, and the word therapy whips about, giving an answer is too great a sacrifice. You steal your shoes and collect your tools, tobacco, lighter, leather jacket, wallet, to save yourself from doubt. I chase you barefoot through spit rain streets, but the longer you are coaxed, the longer you stay gone, chopping off your ears and tongue with repeated blades of drink. In return, I charge red face upstairs, stomping out your shadow, slapping your back, till you shake and throw me down like luck. My questions play dead, pushed aside by silence rising between us. Arms folded, we wait. Listen for a confident knock from your cops. Sharply sheepish, in blue uniforms of right angles, they pry us into separate corners, take our versions without listening, and leave with our names and numbers for a worthless lottery. You gather your needs, tobacco, lighter, leather jacket, wallet, and walk through licks of rain, feeling clawed. Alone, I rush to all the mirrors for echoes of what? An oversensed face burning through dry, taut skin, losing symmetry to primal shapes and colors. Two overwatered eyes, veins like frozen bolts of blood. I graze over tender bruises. These budding horns press me for your whereabouts, whether you are under someone else's skin or not. The last horn pulses under my fingertips. Kisses, wonders less and less about you, curls into a horn of mercy, grows into a sea springing self. Thank you, Emily. Next we have Grant March.
This is not my own poem. It's a poem by a guy called Seamus Hogan, who I knew about 20 years ago when I was pig-sitting for him, because he had some pedigree saddleback pigs. And when I was pig-sitting there, some of his poetry books were lying around, and I picked up one of them. And I'm sure most of us here have a poem, or maybe one or two, that we remember, and that's something that really strikes a chord with you. And it took me a couple of times to kind of dig it out tonight, but it struck a chord with me. It's a very short poem. It's only three lines, one short line, two slightly longer lines. I hope you like it. Drink out of an icen bowl. Satiate on sunlight off a plate of honeysuckle perfume instead of leaving this dining room of diluted plenty still starving. Instead of burying the freshness of a moment in damp cellars of patience, squeeze from the bitterest citrus of what happens a drop of pure present.
Thank you, Brent. Next, you have Jennifer Matthews.
So I have to slightly give away the ending here, because it's something you would see written but not heard.
Spoiler alert.
It'll be fine. So it has to do with family tree in my family, where the word born is spelled borned, because it was written by, you know, a woman who would have had a big education, so it's spelled B-O-R-N-E-D, right? Okay. It's called Historic. And it starts with a quote from, a quote. Early explorers and pioneers made St. Charles their place of choice for shopping in the 19th century. Today, precisely restored brick buildings are flanked in tidy lines along cobblestones of historic Main Street, now a shopping district of what might have been, of nostalgia for sale. Here we buy homespun-styled knickknacks and curios, butter-churn umbrella holders, milk jugs filled with silk flowers, decorative cinnamon-scented brooms bound in gingham ribbons, antique-like pitcher and bowl sets featuring a menagerie of farmyard animals, decorative bird feeders painted like American flags, mason jars of patriotic jelly beans, patriotic tissue box cozies, patriotic guardian angel figurines, and the queen of all Americana quilts. Some affordably machine-stitched in the old-fashioned fussy cut to feature flowers, local birds, or love hearts. More coveted are the hand-stitched mock Amish pieces in classic patterns of broken stars or log cabins, made complete by the error in the lower right corner, a humility block. The fabric turned sideways against the prevailing pattern to show no challenge to God's perfection. My mother jokes we're in no danger of displeasing the Creator, considering our honest inheritance of being wrong. Our prized family heirloom, glass cased in her kitchen. My great grandmother's quilt, each square marking a family birth, hand embroidered to the best of a farming woman's education. Elsie Bice, born to 1895. Wanda Bice, born to 1939. Thanks.
This is a poem by a guy who has a pacemaker installed in his heart. It's called Dear Heart. You know I know what you do for me. In a cage scarcely bigger than your vigorous form, in tiny, uncomplaining confinement. Lifer, hard laborer, without sus or parole, worked to cut muscle. Wikipedia calls you fist-sized. I say a fist of twitching fibers, awful textured, constant. Such monotonous heroism, all alone in that blackness. Your valves indefatigable as you scrunch to contract, clutch and release and clutch through how many consecutive day shifts and night shifts. As you jackhammer over and over, as your drum machine chambers sustain the least cell of my eyes and my fingernails. Such monotony. So let me say sorry for the payback I've given you. All trans fats and negligence until they have to install a titanium timepiece in your ventricle wall. They put in a galley drum machine, its drumbeat to keep you beating in time. They watch you from one of those brownfield data centers. They map palpitations, your repetitive beats, your sinewy layers unclenching. They see me. They see the machine in my heart. They see me among the walking paths, skinny and aspirant, as I give you this kilometer of bitterness, of huffing and burning, and the next yet more bitter kilometer. Dear heart, I'm heaving for you. And though you're part mechanical now, I still cherish you, my brother, for the body's a machine like any other. And bosom friend, how could I ever leave you? I'll be with you until the very end. Through the arrhythmia, the pain and buffeting panic, through failure of fibrillation, flatline. I love you 78 times a minute.
This is a very serious religious reflection. And I speak here in the voice of God. It's a bit of a come down for me, but you know, a little humility wouldn't go with this. And it's for this weekend particularly. It's called Crowpatrick, and it is serious. We pass like shadows over the mountain in the dusk, seeking God, filing silently upwards, praying. For a long time, nothing happens. Finally, I hear him speaking from inside me. He says, You have come to seek my forgiveness, but it is you who needs to forgive. You must forgive all those who surrounded you, judged you, controlled you, presumed to know you, to limit you. All those who kept you from me, who lied and cajoled, falsely comforted, led you down the paths to nowhere, to where I was not. You need to forgive everyone, all those you have met, all those you have not met, all those down through history who have committed unspeakable crimes. You must understand, that must be your beginning. Then you will need to forgive yourself for seeing it all too late, for coming looking for me so late, for all your mistakes and foolishness and cruelties, for all your lapses, your constant meaningless activity, seeking the mere self, when all the time it should have been me you were seeking, as you are now. Just remember, it is only the beginning. And there is one last mountain to climb. You must forgive me, or rather, the paltry image you have of me. You must stop secretly hating me for holding back, not answering your prayers, letting so much go wrong, giving you the freedom to be human, to be inhuman, for letting the horrors happen. You must open your own eyes and not have me open them for you. Forgive me for landing you in history and leaving you there feeling lost until you could find your way out. You must stop asking why and why not. When I speak, it will all be over. If I told you, you would not understand. You have to travel further, climb higher. But you must stop blaming me, masking me, looking up in anger, accusing me of all the evil in the world, doubting my presence, my existence, my child. You have a lot of forgiving to do. You have not even risen to the mystery of the clouds. You are not even at the border of my country. Go ahead and climb your mountain. Climb all the mountains of the world. It is a necessary effort. I myself climbed mountains in search of a good life and a good death. And it was all of it, just a beginning.
Next, we have Mr. Jerry Murphy.
He's funny, your mother.
It was very hard, I know.
Very hard, mother. This is,
she's not his mother, actually.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Don't point to you as the father, because you know the truth. I admitted it before. This is John Matthew, from the Island of Geisha, my joke. This is called Bud. It starts from a flawed infinity. Particles flying apart at the speed of light, fractals branching and branching, now a cathedral, now a railway station, until a fighter jet in black livery hangs from the tree of chaos like unwelcome fruit.
Thank you, Jerry. Next up we have John with a song.
Last night as I lay dreaming of pleasant days gone by, my mind went to ramble into Ireland I did fly. I stepped on board a vision and I followed with the will till next I came to anchor at the cross on Sansom Hill. I it being on the 21st of June, the day before the fair, when Ireland's sons and daughters and friends assembled there, the young, the old, the brave and the bold came their duty to fulfill. At the parish church in Clooney, a mile from Spansel Hill, I went to see me neighbours to see what they would say. The old ones were all dead and gone, the young ones turned grey. But I met the tailor Quigley, he's as bald as ever still. And he used to mend me breeches when I lived on Spansel Hill. I paid a flying visit to my first and only love. She's as white as any lily, and gentle as a dove. And she threw her arms around me, crying, Johnny, I love you still. And she's now the farmer's daughter, the bride of Spansel Hill.
Sit at monster lit where highbrows knit and stanzas fit. Quicksilver muse may rarely choose in ones and twos to hear her views. Aghast the stairs, verbose the players, when hottest wares meet cold naysayers. As lines dissect, wrong words inflect, with scant respect, half colons pecked. Who'll interrupt with fig rolls cup? Barge in, disrupt, before we've supped. Pick up the train of thought in vain, that prosaic strain may briefly reign. Loud caps are dropped, split hyphens mopped, old cliches copped, metallics lopped. Syllabic sound, while temples pound, mnemonics nouned, last scans abound. IQs inferred, at least, one third, as one concurred, his nibs demurred. Thank you.